Welcome to the Instagram for Bosses podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Marie. I'm here to teach you practical tips and strategies for leveraging Instagram so you can position yourself as an expert, generate more leads, and land more clients. So, bosses, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Instagram for Bosses. I hope you're having a great week. Joining me on the show today is my good friend, Kachina Dimmick, founder of The Content Collective Co. and fellow digital marketer. We discuss all things content marketing and particularly why content marketing is so important for businesses. So if you're interested in learning more about that, then stay tuned. Before we start, I wanted to remind you to follow me over on Instagram. You can find me by searching at Andrea Marie Creative. I share lots of free tips and trainings over there, and we always have a lot of fun. Now let's get back to today's episode. Today we're being joined by my good friend Kachina Dimmick. Kachina is a content marketing specialist, former Australian Army Reservist, WBFF wellness athlete, and the director of Content Collective Co., a content marketing agency that works with small to medium businesses in helping to achieve business growth through the use of organic marketing efforts. So with all of that being said, Kachina, welcome to Instagram for Bosses.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you. So tell us a little bit more about your journey into starting your business.
Yeah, sure. So I guess my journey kind of started out like many other people's kind of entry into the work world starts. So I went to university a while ago, almost 10 years ago now. I'm finished up there and I just did a degree in media and communications. And I finished that degree not really knowing what I wanted to do and where I kind of wanted to go with my career, being a very broad kind of degree. But I ended up, I think I was overseas actually, and I was thinking like, what do I enjoy doing? What am I good at? And I came to travel writing. And that was kind of like the big goal at the time, that I wanted to work towards. And I thought, you know, Airbnb had just started coming, like, you know, becoming a real popular thing back then. Wasn't as big as it was now, but back then it was kind of like, all right, that's cool. That's what I want to work towards. I want to work one day for a company, like a tech travel company, like Airbnb. And so I set about into the workforce with that goal in mind. And I had a couple of internships with some travel writing publications, which was really cool and a nice kind of way to kind of get my foot in the door. Before I got my job at my first full-time job at a tech-based, like a food-based tech startup in Sydney, where I worked in doing a lot of like online editorial work there, which was like my first real kind of full-time foot in the door job in that whole kind of marketing world. So from there, I ended up moving into tech SaaS. I'm doing content and social media marketing for a few years before I then landed a job with a travel company, so a tour company, managing their whole content online and social media marketing for four different tour brands globally, which was really cool. And I loved that job. So it was kind of like, for me, that was like, yes, I've made it. I've got my like semi kind of like travel writing job. I got there and that was really cool. So that grew really well. And it was kind of where I got my experience with all of those jobs. There. So I was last in that travel job. That was like the last full-time job I had. And I was with that company until COVID hit. And obviously being travel industry, that role was very quickly affected and that my hours got cut quite drastically. But it was funny. I remember so clearly like at the time when my days were cut from five down to three, I thought, cool, I've got like an extra 2 days a week now. I don't want to be like, I don't want to sit around and do nothing. So I saw a lot of my coworkers were like, oh yeah, like there's so much extra time to watch movies and kind of do stuff like that. But I was like, no, I don't want to be like that. I want to be productive with my time. And I just thought, you know what? I've always spoken about wanting to manage my own business and to work for myself, but I'd never had the time to do it, or I'd never kind of allowed myself the time to work on creating that. So it was kind of like this perfect opportunity was given to me on a silver platter to finally put that dream business together, or like the universe giving me a little bit of a kick up the bum to be like, you've been talking about this for so long, it's about time you did something about it. So that ended up being actually like quite a fortuitous move, as about 6 months later, my role with that travel company was made redundant. But it was kind of at the same time that I had started picking up a fair bit of contract work through the business. So it was kind of like a really nice transition into self-employment. So that now, that was two and a half years ago that I started building the business. 2 years since it launched, and coming up to 2 years since that that other role was made redundant. So it's been, yeah, it's been an interesting journey. But it's definitely, yeah, I love it, and it's really exciting. It's just kind of funny how it all kind of came together in the end.
Oh, I love that so much. And I love that you're the type of person who took something like COVID, which could easily get you down. Like, you've taken, you know, you've had your hours cut, and you could easily, you know, view that and see yourself as a victim and kind of wallow in sorrow. But what you've done instead is you've taken it as an opportunity. You've seen it as an opportunity, and you've looked at basically creating this new situation for yourself that's turned into such a profitable thing, and you've just launched your business and taken off from there. So I absolutely love how you got your start into business, and that COVID was actually the thing that kind of pushed you into chasing your dreams. That's such an inspiring story. So you specialize in content marketing specifically. I'd love to know why, in your opinion, you think content marketing is so important for businesses in 2022.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, there's so many reasons why content marketing is just, it's so important for businesses of all sizes. But I guess to give a little bit of context for anyone that maybe doesn't really know what content marketing is, it's basically like the process of creating and distributing like really valuable, relevant to your audience, and consistent content in order to attract and retain audience members and customers. And there's so many different reasons as to why it's important for businesses, including, like, you know, it helps in establishing to build trust. And I think that's a really key one that's really kind of come into play a lot more heavily since COVID as well. I think consumers nowadays are so much more savvy than what they used to be, and they really value trust in the businesses and the brands that they choose to invest in and purchase from. So content marketing can really help with that. And a good example of that recently, like, even, and that, like, you know, where trust plays a really big part in brand and business, is in the last week alone, it's been really interesting in the kind of marketing news cycle. So Patagonia, obviously, they sold, or the owner of Patagonia sold the business to, or donated, sorry, or the business worth to helping to fight climate change. And that's kind of worked massively in Patagonia's favor, because, you know, everyone that follows Patagonia loves Patagonia because they walk the talk. They're not just talking fluff. They really stand for and, you know, live and breathe their values. But then at the same time, it was really interesting, the same time that Patagonia kind of donated their work, there was a fast fashion retailer who were claiming to be like super, like, sustainable and eco-conscious, and yet they hired one of the Kardashians to be their face of their sustainable, like, their sustainability messaging, which is just kind of funny, because obviously the Kardashians are quite well known for their, you know, private jet plane use and then not so sustainable way of life. So it's just kind of funny. So I mean, that's kind of going off on a bit of a tangent, but that's just one way in how, like, content marketing can help in establishing that trust. It can also help with amplifying your social media presence and also your, you know, entire online presence, which is, again, particularly post-COVID, has never been more pertinent than ever before. It can also help with generating more leads and increasing your conversions, improving your SEO efforts. And it can also probably, which is my, like, one of my favorite reasons as to why content marketing is so important for businesses, is it can also save you money, in that a lot of the platforms are free to use, but it also encourages you to get to know your audience, so that, you know, when you're putting content out there, and you know, if you're backing it up with money and advertising, effectively you're saving money because you know exactly who your customer is, what they want, what gets them ticking, and so forth. So yeah, does that make sense? There's kind of totally. A lot there. And there's a lot that I can unpack and kind of rattle on about. But
no, I think you've nailed it. And I know that you and I have spoken extensively about how important it is for businesses to know who their ideal clients or customers are. We've spoken extensively about that. And you've hit the nail on the head. It, you know, if you can get to know this person and speak to this person in your organic marketing, and your organic marketing is performing really well, when you then invest paid ads behind those same marketing efforts, you're just going to be skyrocketing the results that you get, because you've really nailed in and fine-tuned who that person is, and you know that the copy that you're creating is going to resonate with that person because you've done that work and you've put that effort in initially. So yeah, I think you've totally hit the nail on the head. And yeah, I loved what you mentioned about people being more savvy, especially after going through 2 years of lockdowns. And I think as well, people were forced to do a lot more online shopping and, you know, making their purchasing decisions online. So I feel like a lot of more traditional brick and mortar businesses were effectively forced into the online space. So they kind of had to get more savvy with how they were marketing to their clients in order to be able to even communicate with them. And I know I had a few of my social media management clients who were at first considering dropping their social media management contract with me because they were worried that with COVID they were going to lose lots of revenue. But then they quickly realized how important and how powerful it was to have a strong social media presence, because that's how they were able to really communicate with their customers directly, rather than having to go through something that's quite expensive, like paid TV ads or radio ads. And they were actually surprised by how much money they were still able to make over COVID. One of them was they specialize in window coverings. And I think because everyone was locked in their homes for 2 years, everyone was kind of forced to look at like their old, like broken blinds and drab curtains and things like that. So they actually kind of had that time to spend on home improvements. So they were pleasantly surprised that they actually didn't lose as much business, and they were really thankful that they didn't actually, you know, skimp out on their social media marketing, because having that strong online presence during that time was really important. So interesting.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a good use case. And I think it's as well, like going back to like what you were saying, like with a lot of your customers being, or clients, sorry, being concerned that they've been missing out on business. I think the way that I like to kind of position that then is that, well, if there is like, and naturally, you know, with every business, there's ebbs and flows and peaks and troughs. And I think a lot of the time, especially when businesses are maybe a bit smaller, when you do hit those troughs, there is that panic. It's like, oh God, we need to stop doing like this marketing activity because, you know, it's costing us money and they've got all of these other worries and concerns. But I mean, I always try to encourage people when they're kind of going through a bit of a trough in their business to be like, no, like, let's use this as an opportunity to really focus on your brand building and your brand awareness and really like doing what we can to establish some, you know, like brand authority in your space. So
yes,
there's always a good opportunity. You know, sometimes the goalposts just shuffle a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And I think oftentimes as well, because there's a lot of talk now of recession and, you know, all that kind of scary talk that has been going on in the media. And it's often during times of recession that some of the biggest opportunities arise for business owners. So I like to just caution people not to feel too fearful and not to act out of fear, because as soon as you're in that state of anxiety, that's when you stop being able to see those opportunities present themselves. So I'll give you an example. So say you're someone who sells, you know, maybe you sell an online program that's $2,000 and you're worried that, you know, with a looming recession that your ideal clients won't be able to afford something like that, you could then maybe pivot that offer into something like a membership program that you could then sell at a lower monthly price point, so that that makes it more manageable and more maintainable for people who can't afford that initial investment. So there's little ways, there's little things that you can do and strategies you can implement to really pivot your business as you go. Another example, one of my clients, they specialize in airport transfers. And obviously with the pandemic, there wasn't a whole lot of airport transfers happening. So they pivoted a little bit and they started offering winery transfers. So they were, offering to transfer people to and from local wineries in the region. And they did quite well with that. And it was something that they could rely on in the meantime until travel was back up and running again. So I feel like there's always opportunities in times of hardship. So moving on, I'd love to know what your biggest myths and misconceptions are that you hear when it comes to things like creating long form content.
Yeah, this is an interesting question because I feel like the resistances that I hear the most are not so much myths or misconceptions, but rather more kind of like excuses or reasons against creating long form content. So the one that I come across most often when I am talking to other business owners is time. Mm-hmm. There's always the excuse that there's not enough time to dedicate to creating a long form piece of content. So like a blog, a podcast, or a video. But what I always find is really, really interesting, and I guess kind of funny in that situation, is usually I'll find the people that are very vocal about not having the time to create this content are usually the ones that will spend a whole heap of time. Like, you'll jump on Instagram and you'll see that their stories, there's like 100 tabs open, you know, like when someone's got heaps of stories uploaded on their Instagram, or you'll see that they spend a lot of time chasing trending content on Reels and TikTok that don't necessarily help in moving the needle in their business. So in that case, it's kind of like, for them, it's like the benefits of long form content are overlooked and overshadowed by, I guess, the sparkly alternative, which is the convenience of social media. And I guess what's ironic with all of that is that the irony in all of that is that if these people were to utilize long form content, there'd be no need for them to be dancing on TikTok or shaking their booties on Reels or whatever, and chasing whatever is trending, as the creation of long form content actually makes it easier to create that shorter, more bite-sized content. So yeah, it's not so much a myth or misconception. It's more so just that I think it's so easy to be like, oh, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. I'm spending all of my time creating content on social media and constantly feeling like a hamster in the wheel. When really, I think when you take a step back and you look at it and you're like, oh, okay, no, I'm spending all of this time creating content that doesn't do anything for my business on social media, but creating, you know, that long form content would help in really kind of nailing down and creating content that means something to your audience, and that should help your bottom line.
Yeah, for sure. And that's something that I really focus in on when working with clients one-on-one is having a look at the strategy as well behind what they're posting on social media. Because like you said, a lot of the time people can get caught up in these trends and things like Reels and things like that, where they're not actually putting in the strategy. They're just creating for the sake of creating because Reels are, you know, really popular at the moment. But you really do need to take that time to actually have a look at what's going to move the needle in your business. So for me, my podcasts are my long form content, and I will create a podcast episode each week. And then oftentimes I'll use that long form piece of content, break that down into smaller chunks of content that I can then share on social media. But it is all moving the needle in my business. So I love that you said that, because I think we need to be more strategic rather than just doing what's popular or trending at the time. So what are your suggestions, I guess, for using Instagram to promote long form content? Do you recommend, like I just mentioned, breaking down podcasts into like shorter audio clips, or like what are your suggestions for how you can use Instagram to really take advantage of those longer, you know, spending time on those longer pieces of content?
Yeah, sure. And definitely, like if your audience is on Instagram, it's definitely a great platform to be promoting the long form content that you do create on. So I guess some suggestions that I would have there is, I guess more than anything, just to be creative in how you do use your long form content. So again, like what we were just saying, like don't focus on what's trending, instead focus on your content and creating something that is authentic to you. And it's always interesting, I guess, like when you look at the bigger brands, so those brands that I guess we would really identify as being, you know, absolute top of their game, they're not chasing whatever's trending. They're focusing on what they do and what they know. So that's just kind of like a nice little kind of takeaway to have from that. But I guess more to what you were saying, like with examples. So for example, with your podcast, there's definitely a lot that you could do. So if someone had a podcast as their key piece of long form content, you could video record that and have a secondary item of long form content in the form of a video, and then obviously take little bite-sized chunks out of that, and you could share that as reels or share bits like snippets of audio and transcribe that into a blog and transcribe and use those transcriptions as snippets and quotes that you could then share on your socials as well. It's really kind of bite-sized pieces of content. And again, like in all of that as well, like another thing that I quite often people ask, like, oh, is it bad to be repetitive in what you're, you know, posting on your social media? And to that I say no.
Yeah, totally.
Like, don't be afraid to be repetitive. Like, obviously don't copy and paste every caption, but don't be repetitive in that the message that you're trying to get across. And I say that because, you know, your followers aren't going to see every item of content that you do share on Instagram or whatever social media platforms you do use. And also they're not always going to remember it. And I guess like the best way that I can then like make an example out of that is, tell me what you read on Instagram yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you probably can't remember.
Totally.
I know I can't. So there's no harm in being repetitive in your messaging in that sense. And it will actually help in benefiting you, because it'll then mean people like they'll read that over and over again, mm-hmm. and it helps them identify you as that leader. Yeah, it helps it 100%. Stick, the message stick. And also, like, especially with using Instagram as the example as well, is don't be afraid to use different formats. So use reels, use carousel posts, mm-hmm. create infographics and use stories. Like, don't feel like you need to stick to just one form of content. Like, be open to trying them all, but more than anything, just focus on you and focus on creating something that is authentic.
Love that. That's so such beneficial advice. I always say recycle your existing content. Something I like to do is go into my Instagram analytics and have a look at posts that have performed really well, and then I'll take those posts and I'll recreate them in different formats. So it might be a reel that's performed really well. I'll take that same information, convert it into an infographic or a carousel post, and then vice versa. So you want to be, again, strategic, looking at what's performing well and then looking at ways that you can repurpose it. Because like you said, people are not going to remember if you've shared that same information a week ago or even a day ago. They're not going to remember that. So that's something I always mm-hmm. encourage my clients to do when they're like, oh, I don't have time to come up with new content. You don't have to come up with new content all the time. You can totally repurpose existing content. So I love that you said that. How can you use content marketing to become more discoverable? I know you mentioned SEO. I'd love to know a little bit more about how you can really leverage content marketing in that way.
Yeah, of course. I guess that's kind of like the beauty of content marketing, and it's what I'm always kind of raving to anyone who will listen about, is really utilizing like what I call that holistic approach to marketing. So using, like, starting with your long form content and then having that trickle down to, you know, smaller items of content and, you know, kind of filling out that wheel. So one of the benefits, and I guess it's and again, it does, it helps in making you more discoverable, like with utilizing content marketing, is that it generally means you're on multiple platforms, which means you're reaching more people. So for example, going back to the podcast, say you've got your podcast, and then you record a podcast episode, you then send out an email. So it's a slightly smaller item of content, but it's another item of content nonetheless, and it's on a different platform. And then from that, you also have shorter snippets that you share to your socials. So it's more platforms. And all of that means is you're reaching more people. And why that's important is because, like, not everyone who, you know, fits your ideal client avatar will be on, for example, Instagram. Some of your ideal audience members might gather their information from emails. So it kind of comes back to like knowing your customer and knowing where they like to spend their time and where they gather their information from. And by utilizing content marketing and utilizing multiple platforms, you can ensure that you're reaching as many people as possible. And if you've got people who are on multiple platforms, so if you've got audience members who are on your socials and they're also on your email marketing list, it's reinforcing that message as well. And all of this helps in building your authority. So like we were saying before, that brand building and that industry authority, so that you then become that recognized thought leader and that go-to figure for when people want help with whatever it is you're offering. So it's kind of really kind of knuckling down on that real holistic approach and taking it, you know, you got one big thing and it all trickles down to something smaller and smaller and smaller. And it reaches more and more people, kind of like that big web, if you've ever seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely love that. I think it definitely needs to be part of a holistic picture. And as you mentioned, the more touch points you have, the more credibility and authority that you're going to be able to build. So Katrina, what are your top tips for creating long form content with strategy, long form content that actually drives real results for businesses?
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of like a nice coming together of everything that we've gone over already. But first and foremost, my top tip would be just to forget about what's trending and to really focus on the value that you offer. And I say that because you know that your offer is great. And I'm sure you've got social proof, whether that be from previous clients or work that you've done for an employer, or even if you've done, you know, slightly reduced rate or free work, you've got some kind of proof there. So focus on that value that you know that you offer rather than what's trending. And then I guess second to that is patience, especially when it comes to that organic marketing side of things, which is, you know, tends to be the content marketing way. It would be bloody wonderful if, you know, we saw these great results overnight, but unfortunately that's not the case. So patience is needed, and it's the kind of thing that's, I guess, likening back to like that story of the tortoise and the hare. Slow and steady always wins the race, and it will pay you dividends in the long run. So really practicing that patience. And then also, of course, just ensuring that you're utilizing that really holistic kind of approach to your marketing. So utilizing that long form content and repurposing it into shorter forms of content, that will take such a big load, like mental load off of you each month when you are creating that your content, or however often you do plan your content. But also as well, there are other things that you can do to help in, you know, ensuring that your efforts are helping to drive results. And a big one that I see a lot of business owners overlooking is that constantly keeping on top of your measuring. So looking at your data and your insights and what information you have available to you and using that to your advantage. So for example, like you said before, when you do your content, you'll look to your Instagram insights to see which items of content have performed well in the past and repurpose that into another kind of form of content. So keep on top of measuring all of your efforts so that you know what performs well. And use that to your advantage. Like, the data and the numbers never lie. So, you know, use that and make the most of it. So that would kind of be my top three tips there. Yeah, would be that focus on your offer and the value that you have, be patient, and also be data driven. Use those numbers to create really, really on point, value driven content.
Yes, that is amazing. I absolutely love that you spoke about patience. I actually did a whole podcast episode on the key to success, and that key was patience, because in this world of instant gratification that we live in, everyone wants everything now. Everyone has just become so conditioned to being able to get whatever they want with a click of the button. Often you can order stuff online, you can order clothes online, it'll be at your door the next day with a click of a button. You can have food delivered to you within half an hour. Everyone's so used to getting everything so instantly that I feel like patience has really been lost and forgotten about, whereas it really is a virtue, and it's something that it's not a sexy thing. Like, when you tell people that it takes patience, that I get it, that's not a sexy thing, but it really is the fact of running an online business. It takes patience. You're not going to get that instant success overnight. And sure, there are freak cases of people, you know, you hear about going viral overnight. That is not the norm. That is such a small, minute number of people that happens to. And the true key to success is having that patience and having the grunt to be able to stick it out in the long run, having those moments where all you want to do is break down and cry. I know I've definitely been there. I'm sure you probably had those moments too, where you just like want to give up and nothing's happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's really what separates the successful business owners from the ones who aren't, because it really is about having that patience and being able to put in that grunt work even when you're not seeing the results yet. So I absolutely love that you mentioned that, because that is something that I preach all the time.
It's not easy, but yeah, I saw on Instagram actually maybe the other day, I can't remember who it was, but someone had put on their stories that they were kind of having, you know, like they were feeling a bit down, like, oh, you know, why hadn't their business succeeded as much as they thought it would? And they were comparing themselves to other businesses related, like in that same kind of field of work. And what this girl had done is she ended up Googling and doing research into each of those businesses that she was like, oh, these guys all look like instant overnight successes. But then she actually found most of them had been around for about 7 to 12 years. Mm-hmm. So it took them like a decade, let's say, on average, to become that overnight success. So exactly. That comparison can be, I guess I say comparison is a thief of all joy.
Totally.
But yeah, and it ties back into that patience as well. But I thought that was a really nice kind of message that was shared.
Yes. And I think as well, like, especially on Instagram, you're seeing people's highlight reels, and it's so easy to look at someone and be and see their success and think, oh, you know, it seems that they've just had this overnight success, but you don't know all the grunt work that they've put in to get to that position that they're in. And oftentimes you're seeing these people on social media, and it's taken them, like you said, between sort of 7 to 10 years. There is I can't remember the exact source, but I know I spoke about it in one of my previous podcast episodes, where it says on average it takes businesses, I think it was between 5 to 7 years before they actually start turning a profit. So if you're someone out there who's listening and you feel like you're struggling, because everyone talks about this, hitting this magical six-figure mark, if you're struggling and you're not at that six-figure mark yet, please don't put pressure on yourself, because it's totally normal. These things take time. Everyone out there is promoting, you know, how to make, you know, 10K months and things like that. Half the time, they're not even making 10K months. People can say whatever they want online. So just take what you see online with a grain of salt, and just understand that with time, patience, and consistency, you will get there. You just have to have the drive and the patience to keep going.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So totally. So thank you so much for joining us today, Katina. We've absolutely loved having you on the show. So where can people find you, and how can they learn more about working with you?
Yeah, sure. And first of all, thank you so much for having me on. This has been really fun to just chat and I guess geek out a little bit on all things content marketing.
Totally.
But I guess, yeah, if anyone would like any information or would like to work together, you can find me online. So my website is contentcollectiveco.com.au. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. All three, my usernames, Content Collective Co. So pretty easy to find across all the channels.
And I'll leave your details linked in the show notes. So guys, make sure you check out Katina's details in the show notes. And once again, thank you so much for joining us today.
No worries, my pleasure.
So that's what I've got for you for today's episode. If you found value in today's show and are looking for more tailored help with your Instagram marketing, please feel free to reach out to me via Instagram DM or click the link in the description where you can book a free strategy call with me to learn more about how I help other business owners like you leverage Instagram to stand out as experts and land more dream clients and customers. Thanks for joining me today. If you're enjoying the show, I would love and appreciate it if you subscribed and left me a rating and review. It would mean a lot if you shared it to your Instagram story, because sharing episodes is the best way for the show to grow, reach more people, and impact more lives. If you do share the episode, be sure to tag me at Andrea Marie Creative, because I love to reshare your stories and chat with you in the DMs. I hope you have a great day and week, and I'll speak to you soon.